Good morning. It is good to see you all here. Well, this morning I got up, was sitting in my chair, and the Lord started dealing with my heart again. So I'm not preaching what is in the bulletin. So I was sitting in my chair this morning writing another sermon out. So we're going to be in 1 John 1:9. And this is probably a scripture a lot of you know by heart. I'd like to ask you to turn to 1 John 1:9 today. We're going to look at the power of forgiveness. And when you get to 1 John 1:9, I would like to ask you to please stand as I read from God's Word, if you're able. If you're able to stand, you can. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, this morning this message, Lord, You have laid upon my heart. And Father, I just believe it's with an urgency that we need to hear it. We need to listen to it. We need to take it in and we need to feed on it and we need to let it become a part of us and we need to put it into action, dear God. The Lord, we know that when You forgive us, we are forgiven. And Father, let us turn our hearts and our attention to You right now. And Father, as I preach this message, let every word come from You through Your Holy Spirit. And God, we want to thank You for the power of Your Word. And let Your Word be planted into our hearts and lives that it would change us from the inside out. And God, we give You the honor and the glory and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Now this passage of Scripture is a very powerful promise, and I really want you to take this in, and if you want to write it down, but please do, but think about this. It's a promise, and when God makes a promise, He does not break it. God is not a liar. What God says, God backs it up, and God is faithful to do it. But it's His promise of divine forgiveness and restoration. It is divine forgiveness and restoration. And it should teach us that God, and this is based on Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, that we are instantly forgiven and that we are cleansed. And that's those who honestly admit their sins. Now, the act of confession. To confess means to say the same thing as God, agreeing with Him that our actions are sinful. It is an honest acknowledgement and not a generic apology. When we confess our sin, now I was going to preach a sermon about confession for some weeks back. And still, I thought, well, I'm going to incorporate a little bit of it into this. It fits together like a hand in a glove. So when we confess our sins to God, I want you to know it's something very seriously that we're doing, that we should take it very seriously. And we should be upfront and honest with God because, number one, God knows everything that we say. He knows everything that we do. He knows every thought. He knows every feeling, emotion. He knows everything about you and me from the inside out. So we cannot play a game of hide and seek when confessing our sins to God. When we come before God, we have to come before Him with a serious attitude. And this is what I believe too. When we confess our sins before God, We have to do it in a way that we're serious. We mean business. I mean, we have to realize the depth of our sin. We have to realize the course of action that was set in motion by what we did. But we have to realize the wrongdoing, and we also have to realize that the things we do in sin, they are not of God. They are not a part of His Word. They are things of the world. Now, a lot of times people will say, well, the devil made me do it. Well, now I'm going to say something here, and I want you to take this and really process it. Yeah, the devil will put things in your mind. He only feeds your mind with the negativity. But a lot of the time, the problem is right here. It's within us. That's where the sin lies, because we know as Christian people that we are to do the things of God and we are not to do the things of the world. We are not to do the things that are against God, because if we're living in sin and if we are doing things that are unrighteous, do you realize that we are enemies of God? Because we are not living for Him. Now, if we are walking in right fellowship with the Lord, then we know that our actions should be pointed toward all things of God's Word, and that our lives should be bearing, as I preached a couple weeks ago, bearing good fruit. But anyway, we have to come to God and we say, Lord, Your Word says that these things I have done are sin, and I agree with that. I agree with what Your Word says, and it was wrong. And we have to mean business. So we just can't say, well, God, I told a little white lie, so I'm sorry. You know, that's a generic apology. That's what that is. Because number one, I don't believe it's heartfelt. If we are truly sorry for the things we've done wrong, one thing you're going to feel is you're going to feel like there's a big weight in your heart. You're going to feel remorse for your actions, your words, your deeds. You are going to feel very remorseful. And in a lot of ways, I've known people who get so overcome by things they've done wrong and they realize that they transgressed against God. There are people who will actually weep before God in repentance. So God knows the attitude of our heart. God knows where we stand, and God knows if we're serious. So that's why I want to put the challenge out to each and every one of us right now today. When we go before God and confess our sins, that's exactly what we have to do. So, as for an example, if you just had a bad day and you get before God, Father, I confess that today I lied. I did it. I'm at fault. Or Lord, today I got mad at somebody and told them off. Well, Lord, today I was prideful. Today, dear God, I said cuss words. Father God, today I told a joke that wasn't, maybe it was a dirty joke, Lord, and I just was trying to be a part of the boys or something like that. Or Father God, I was speaking negative. Whatever it is, confess it before God, because what you're confessing out, this is basically what I believe. I believe that when we confess it, it is getting that stuff out of us, and it will lighten our load. And when you're confessing before God, then I believe that God knows. He's looking at our heart and He can tell that we are serious about the point that we're at in our prayer time. But we must not make just a generic apology, because the attitude of our heart, God definitely knows what it is. Now, God's character. The Bible says that God is faithful and just. That means He is faithful to his promise to forgive, okay? Now, God's not going to go back on his word. If God said that he would forgive you, then what does that mean? You are forgiven. Now, what happens? When we go up, we get up from prayer, and we get to going about our day, and all of a sudden, here comes that dark little thought. Now you think you're a Christian, but remember what you did? Okay, that's when you need to say, you know, Father, I submit to you right now, and I am turning away from any of the negative voices that the enemy is speaking to me. And Father, I know that I have been forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross, and it's the promise you made. Now, you don't have to keep going to God and saying, now remember, God, you promised to forgive me. You don't have to tell him that because God already knows it. He said it in his word that he would do it. And if he is faithful and if he promises to forgive, then he will do that because your debt was paid on the cross by Jesus. That was the whole reason Jesus died for you and I. Because he knew there was a debt. He knew there was sin. You and I could not pay that penalty. We are human beings. We are not immortal. We are mortal beings. So immortality had to become mortal. He had to take, he was a perfect lamb sacrifice, and he had to come and die in order that we could be brought back together with God. Because if Jesus had never died for us, if he had never come, then every single one of us would end up burning in a lake of fire for eternity. So here's what we need to do. We need to get out of the little fantasy world that we sometimes tend to live in, and it's time that we start living like we are forgiven Christians. If Jesus paid the price on the cross and he shed his blood for our sins, and we know that and we have accepted that and we believe it and we confess it, then we need to start living like it. So when he says that he has forgiven you, then let it go. How many of you remember, maybe your parents or maybe an adult, you got into a fight with somebody and then they made you make up, and then you hear the adult say, now, I want you two to forget about what happened, and I want you to make amends, and I want you to improve on your relationship. Anybody ever been there? Now, honestly, raise your hand. You don't have to, but you know, be honest. Yeah, I can attest to this. My sister and I was like water and oil. That's how we were. And my sister always wanted to be the boss. And my sister always thought that I had to do everything she said. Well, that's where I failed, because I told her, you're not my boss. I said, you're not my mama, you're not my daddy. And we got into a fight one day, and my sister took a swing at me, and this is the only time I promise that I've ever hit a girl, because we were young, but I turned around, I popped my sister right back in the face, just like she did me, and my mother saw the entire thing. And you know what my mother did? My mother said, I want you two to tell each other what you did wrong. I want you to forgive each other because it's the right thing to do. And she said, on top of that, I want you to kiss each other and hug and make up. And then I want you two to start acting like you can get along. And that's what we need to do. So my sister and I didn't enjoy that moment. I sure didn't like having to give her a kiss, that's for sure. I thought my lips was going to fall off my face that day. I was in the cootie stage of being a young boy. I thought kissing girls would make your lips fall off. I found out that wasn't true, though. So, thank God for that. But anyway, I found out, though, when I had failed God, when I thought I was at my worst, God said, I've redeemed you through the blood of Jesus. So quit looking at yourself here. Here's where I want you to see yourself. See yourself forgiven. See yourself set free from the burden and the pain of what you did in the past. The past is the past. So if you did something wrong this morning and you have asked God to forgive you and you have repented, let it go. It is now in the past, even though it happened today. It's still in the past. Because it, and so what we have to do as Christian people, we have to look ahead and we have to see the things that God has before us. Now, if we continue to live in sin, then God's not going to bless us and we're going to continue to reap destruction and corruption in our lives. That's why we have to... Now, let me say something real quick. I've had people ask me about the thief on the cross who went to heaven. People have said, but he never did the plan of salvation. Isn't it funny how our minds get religious sometimes? I want you to know this. The thief hanging on the cross to the left of Jesus says, he said, Lord, remember me today when you enter your kingdom. Now, you know what that guy was doing? That guy, Jesus knew in a way, he knew his heart, and he knew that thief was saying, hey, I've done wrong in my life, and now here I am, I'm dying for the things I've done. I'm paying the price for my actions. But now, Lord, I'm seeking redemption from you. So he didn't have to say it, but in his heart, he believed who Jesus was, and he believed that Jesus was dying for his sins, and he knew that he could be redeemed, and Jesus knew that about the thief. So Jesus told him, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, did that thief go to a new beginner's class? Nope. Did that thief sign a church card for membership? Nope. Did that thief go to the altar and pray with the preacher? Absolutely not. Did that thief get baptized? Like we do today? No, he did not. He was hanging on a cross. He believed who Jesus was, and he believed that he would be forgiven, and the Lord Jesus shed his blood for that man's sins at that time, and he was redeemed. So if you are redeemed and forgiven, then it is time that we start living like it. Immediate cleansing. Now, when we confess, God not only forgives us of our sins, but he also releases us from the guilt. Anybody ever have what they call remorse or guilt feelings? You sit around, I wish I hadn't have done that. Now, I want to tell you about a situation that happened yesterday that put me to a test. We live out in the country, out on a county road. It's small. It's blacktop, but I usually pull up to the mailbox and I get out of the car and I go over and check the mail. Well, I hear a high-powered truck turning off another road, and I could tell it was some kid, and laying on that gas, well, there's a hill down from us, and here he come flying over that hill, and I'm standing there at the side of my vehicle with the door open. And this is what, and I'll do this. I pointed my finger right at him and I yelled, he had his windows down. I said, slow that thing down. I called out what he was doing wrong, and he got down the road a little ways. Well, and then he gave me a one-handed wave, and I shouldn't probably have to go into any further detail as to what that was. And all of a sudden, the devil come at me, and the devil says, you know what? You need to get mad. You need to go chase him down, and you need to go find out where he lives. You need to give him a piece of your mind. You need to make this thing right. And I'm sitting there about to get mad, and I thought, boy, yes, I should. I ought to probably go knock him upside the head, knock some sense into him. See, that's human ideology at work right there. That's the flesh working. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, you stay calm, you stay where you're at, and you just pull on into your driveway and let it go. Well, I pulled on up. Well, Janine, I didn't know it, but Janine was standing right outside the house. She was out there. We had a tree cut down yesterday. We had a tree got hit by lightning. It was about to split and fall on the house. I had to get it cut down. So the guys had cut, and she was over looking where the tree used to stand and looking at the neat job. So she saw and heard the whole thing, and she told me, she said, boy, she said, I would have probably gone after that kid. Well, I told her, I said, I wanted to, but I said, the Holy Spirit told me not to. So see, we can do things, and they'll be wrong, and sometimes we carry that guilt around. Well, I had to ask God for forgiveness, but now I'm not going to carry, I let that thing go, and I'm not going to carry that around. Because if you go around carrying the guilt of your sin with you, it's going to rob you of your joy, it will steal your peace, it will keep you from growing in God, it's going to hamper and affect your prayer life, and it's basically going to become a disease, and it will plant itself inside of you, and it will take root, and then it will grow inside of your spiritual life, and it will start to choke out the good things of God that is within you, and it will, and I know I've preached this, and you're probably going to say, well, Brother Jim, we've heard this before. Sometimes, how many times did your parents ever have to repeat, didn't I tell you this before? I told you not to do that. But you did it anyway. I'm going to tell you again. It will affect your health. It will affect your mind and your emotions. And it has sent some people over the edge in a lot of cases because they wouldn't let go of the guilt. If Jesus died for you and God is saying here, I'm setting you free from the guilt, then we need to embrace that. We need to take a hold of it and say, hey, I'm living in freedom. Don't walk around like you've got a chair strapped to your back all hunched over and someone asks you, how are you doing today? Oh, my life's just terrible. You'll never believe the things going on in my world. I know a lot of people who live like that, but they go to church and say they're a Christian. If God has forgiven you, then you should be standing straight and tall, and you should have a smile upon your face, and you should be saying that the Lord is good in His mercy and His grace and His forgiveness, and I am living in the righteousness of the Lord. That should be our declaration as His people. Now we have restored fellowship. God's forgiveness restores our fellowship with Him. It's restored. It doesn't say destroyed. Restored. Our fellowship with Him. We are not supposed to go around still feeling condemned. Satan will always try and trick you into thinking that we aren't. This is why we have to submit to God. That's the reason we have to submit. He restores the relationship. Now, I'm going to say this, and I want everybody to think about it. Every single church house and every church body has experienced this at one time or another. there has been splits in churches. And why? I'm going to tell you exactly why. Because the devil got a foothold, because people had unforgiveness, and people decided they were going to be rooted in that, and they weren't going to budge. Their minds were like concrete. They were all mixed up and already set. And that's what happens to a lot of churches. That's why there are so many churches today that the doors are closed. That's why there's no fellowship. That's why the songs aren't being sung. And that's why people are not sitting in the pews. And eventually, if a church building sits with no life in it, what happens to that building? It's going to rot and decay. And at some point, there'll be somebody come along and say, that building needs to be torn down. Okay, so yes, this has happened. But in the here and now, you have to forgive. If God forgives you, then you've got to forgive others. If we have a restored fellowship with God through His forgiveness, then we need to forgive others, even if they're not in Boscadel. Now, I'm going to focus on Boscadel. Don't say, well, now, Brother Jim, what about Myrdal Baptist? We'll let Myrdal worry about Myrdal. We'll let Paul Hicks preach a sermon to his congregation about that. Right now, God's dealing with us. Okay, things happen. And they've happened. Forgive and let it go. Don't talk about it with your neighbor. Don't talk about how you were offended and how mad you got and how you just wanted to punch that person or kick them in the knee or you hoped something bad would fall on top of them or that God would have His revenge on. Don't talk about those sort of things. Here's what God's wanting. He's wanting restored relationships, not only with Him, but within our church body. And the only way that the church is ever going to grow and move forward is if we turn away, and I'm going to say this, and I'm including myself in this group, if we turn away from our fleshly ignorance, if we get away from our foolishness and our childlike behavior. Every single one of us are supposed to be mature Christian people. We have a life to live for God. There are no excuses. Now, that may be hard, but sometimes we need some tough love and we need our toes stepped on to make us see the error of our ways. If we're ever going to make it, and if this church is ever going to continue to thrive, then we've got to continue to live like we have fellowship with God and that we have fellowship with one another. There should be no walls of division between anybody that's in this church house today. So whatever things happened in the past, forgive it, let it go, and seek to restore relationships with people. And you might say, well, you have no idea what Bobby Sue or Larry Lee or whoever did to me. It doesn't matter what they did. Forgive them, love them, and if they don't receive you, then you pray for them. You love them anyway, and you tell God, okay, Lord, I done my part. Now, Father, I give that person to You, and Lord, You change them how You need to change them, and let me stay out of that equation. Because sometimes we try to get ourselves involved a little too much, and then we mess things up. I mean, if I tried to change people, boy, I'd have myself in a big pickle. I'll tell you that. I really would. We have to let God change the heart and life of the person. We have to let God, because God knows exactly what they need and we don't. We might think we know, but we don't. We have to keep our so-called knowledge out of it and let God have His way. So, restored fellowship. When God forgives us, the fellowship is completely restored It's all made, we're new. Quit going to God every day. I want to say this too. Quit going to God every day. Oh, Lord, I really am sorry for what I did a couple weeks ago. I really was sorry when I prayed. Don't go there. Just say, thank you, God, that I am forgiven and I'm going to live freely. I'm going to live in that forgiveness. I'm going to live in that redemption. And then lastly, walking in the light. Confessing is necessary. This is what one thing I was going to preach on a few weeks ago. Confession is necessary. When we confess our sin, we are recognizing that sin or what we did. And that goes back to the lying, cheating, stealing, etc., whatever it may be. Believers are forgiven. We will still sin, and we must deal with that sin to maintain a close communion with God. Basically, what that's saying, what you and I do wrong, we're going to do wrong, but we have to bring it before God, and we have to say, okay, Lord, I failed again. I messed up, but I repent, and I pray that you change my heart, and Father, help me to get better. Help me not to repeat those sins again. Help me to grow in wisdom and knowledge. That's what that's talking about. And we will stay in close relationship or communion with God. Now, 1 John 1:9, it's not a formula for salvation, but it is a promise that should be a part of our everyday prayer life to maintain a clean heart and a close walk with God. Now, I think that sermon went great today with how great thou art. Because do we realize how great God is? How awesome He is? We should be excited. We should be pressing every day to live our lives full out for Him. Instead of worrying about the piddly little things that we dream up or come up with that we think we need to attend to. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have situations or things that need to be dealt with, but everything's got to be brought before the Lord. And then we need to start living like He's got it all under control. He does have it under control, and we need to live like it. We need to live in freedom.